Always a pleasure to do that, and just good to be in God's house. And had a funeral of a first cousin this week. We was more like brothers, really. Paul Thompson died suddenly, and anyway, it was. And then yesterday was 3 years that my wife's been gone, so been kind of a trying week for me. But it's God's good. And one day we'll meet again, amen, a place where there'll be no goodbyes, and thank God for that. Take your Bibles to John chapter 18, if you will. Memorial Day, of course, this is a time that we remember the sacrifices. Of course, that's the theme of Memorial Day, is soldiers and families and communities and our nation remembers the sacrifices that those that have died for our freedom made. And I trust we'll take time to remember that, what an ultimate price it was for our freedom that we have today. I wasn't in the service. My dad was in World War I. I have a brother that was in World War II and a brother that was in the Korean conflict. But I'm thankful for those that did fight for it, those that lost their lives, some that are still fighting for it. But I want to remember that. This morning, I want us to remember the sacrifice of our Savior, the one that died for us. I want us to remember the things they did to him, what he went through for you and I, so we could have eternal life. Amen. Men on the battlefield died for our freedom, but Jesus died for our salvation. Amen. And I want us to remember some things he went through today. John chapter 18, John 17, of course, is the Lord's Prayer. And then in chapter 18, the Bible says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-time resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. You know, that's amazing when you stop and think about that. None of this was a surprise to him. That's what he came for, was to die, suffer, bleed, and die. But he, knowing that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Then asked he again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou givest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword drawn, and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword unto the sheath, and the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Bow with me, if you will. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to stand and to proclaim your word. And Lord, I need you this morning as always. Lord, help us this morning to get a vision of what our salvation cost. Lord, sometimes we, even though we know what you did for us, sometimes I don't think we really realize the pain and agony you went through. Lord, you had a body just like we do. You felt pain just like we feel pain. And Lord, you did it all for us. You went through all of that. And God, I pray this morning that you would help us to see some things that maybe that we've overlooked, or some things maybe we've forgotten that you did and that you went through. Lord, we love you. And I pray that you'd bless the pastor as he's away, him and his family. Lord, give him some refreshment. Is there a way, and some time with his parents? And Lord, be with them as they travel. Lord, have your will and way now for the part of this service. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing they did there was arrest an innocent man. Jesus, the only man that ever walked on this earth that never sinned. They arrested him. You know, they led him to the judgment hall, went through a mock trial, and the lies that they hurled about him. And Pilate, he knew that Jesus was a just man. There wasn't any doubt in his mind, and hadn't done anything wrong. But he asked the people who they wanted released. And the custom in that day was that they would release someone. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'll read a few scriptures there before I get in. It was the custom that at the feast time that the prisoner should be released. And here in Matthew 27, verse 11. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priest and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Here they ask him, of course, about who to release. And as I said, they wanted to get someone. They was after Jesus. That was the whole thing, is all a made up mockery lie that they had against Christ, and they was trying to destroy him, as doing everything they could. And of course we know that was part of the plan, but nevertheless it doesn't take it away from the reality of what they did and why they were doing it. They had no idea really what they was doing, I don't think, or they would never have done it. But they arrested an innocent man, took him through a mock trial, and then wanted to release a man. The two people that was with Christ, one on each side of him, they were both guilty. They deserved what they were getting, but Christ was the innocent one, hung in the middle. He was hanging there for what I did and for what you did, amen. And he was willing to hang there on that cross for us, and we need to never forget that. But down in verse 20, jump down to verse 20. But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. See, they got together and got them to sway them over to ask for Barabbas, And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, what have I to do with thee, with Jesus, which is called Christ? They said unto him, let him be crucified. Or can you imagine that? You wonder how wicked people could be, but you know, it would be the same today. It would. If they brought him up today, the wickedness that's going on, they would do the same thing. They don't want him. They don't want churches. They don't want anything that tells them who they are and what they need. Amen. They're sinners headed for hell and need a Savior. And Jesus was paying that sin debt when he went there on that cross. And you know, verse 26 tells us how they scourged him. Says, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, John tells us that Pilate questioned Jesus not once, not twice, but three times, and said, I find no fault in him. Why? Because there was no fault in him. He was the sinless Son of God hanging on that cross. He was our sacrifice. And yet he didn't, he knew that, but yet he really didn't seem like have enough backbone to stand up to defend him. He tried to, I guess, and I guess the way he was trying to do that was he thought the people, when he let them make a decision, he knew one had to be released, and he probably figured that they would want Jesus to be released, but they didn't. And it's, as I said, it'd be the same way today, probably. If that would go, the situation would go the same way, the world would want, they'd want to crucify Jesus and let an innocent man go and die and an innocent man go free. But anyway, they scourged him there and they stripped him of his clothes. Verse 27, 28 says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered him unto the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. After they had given Jesus a horrible beating and flogging and unmerciful beating there, they took him and took his clothes off and put a mock robe on him of mockery there on his bloody back. Can you imagine that? You know, sometimes I think we've seen pictures and things that they don't depict nothing what Jesus went through. You wouldn't even been able to recognize him, the beating that he took, and the flesh being pulled from his body, and all of the things that they did, the mockery that he went through. And verse 29 says, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they placed it on his head. I don't know if you've ever been stuck with a thorn, but that thing hurts. I mean, even after you get it out, it still hurts. I mean, just aches and throbs. Can you imagine placing it? I'm sure they didn't put it on easily. They crammed it probably down on his head, those thorns in his head. We're talking about my Savior. He died for us. That's the one that was paying our sin debt. You know, we sometimes realize sin is bad and sin has to be paid for, but we don't think about the tremendous price that Jesus paid. You know, sin, the price of sin is death. Jesus died for our sins, not his. He took our sins upon his body and died in our stead. And they mocked him. They put that crown of thorns on it, put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocking him, saying, Hail, King of the Jew. And you imagine them down and making fun of him. They wasn't doing it for any other reason but to make a mockery out of our Savior. And hollering, Hail to the Jews. But you know, Jesus, in the midst of all of these soldiers and this mockery of the crown of thorns and the soldiers, the band of soldiers there bound and their knee to him. Well, one day they're going to bow a knee to him. And not in mockery either, but the Bible says one day in Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God." One day these same band of men that bowed down in mockery to Christ is going to bow down and cry out to him, and it'll be too late. Amen. I think about that. The Son of God and the way that he was treated, the one that loved us more than anyone has ever loved us in a way that no one else could love us. He loved us when we was unlovable. He still loves us when we're unlovable. You know, even though we are saved, many times we allow sin to get in our life. You know, God still loves us just as much as he ever did. He don't love the sin, but he loves us. And he's willing to forgive us of that sin. 1 John 1:9 said, "If we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What a Savior. I mean, when you stop and think about all of these things that he did, then it didn't stop at that, but they spit on him. Verse 30 says, "They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head." You know, I think we would agree, spitting in somebody's face is probably about the worst thing that could happen. You know, as young kids, sometimes we used to do that. We'd get somebody to get a fight started. If you wanted a fight started, that would do it. But can you imagine all these soldiers spitting in his face? Our Savior. My, I tell you what, we forget about some things he went through. Keep in mind that everything that happened to him is for our stead. Wasn't for anything he did. It's for what I did and for what you did. He took that spitting. He didn't have to. He didn't have to stay on that cross. He could have come on that cross. He could come out of the grave. He could come off that cross if he'd have wanted to. It was love for sinners like you and I that held him on that cross. Amen. It was love for sinners that caused him to allow them to spit in his face and make a mockery of him. Matthew 26:67 said, "Then they spit in his face and buffed him, and others smote him with the palm of their hand," you know, smacking him and spitting on him. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible sight, a terrible tragedy that he went through. But it had been prophesied what would happen. Isaiah 50 and verse 6, he said, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." I mean, he knew, as I said, he knew what he was facing. And yet, he loved us enough to be willing to go to all the way, that old rugged cross. Go through all the suffering and the shame that he went through. And for all for you and I, they did every wicked, inhumane thing that they could do to our Savior. They did to him there on that cross. Then the Bible says that back over in John 19, that they, when they went to break his legs, that the soldiers, they would do that. They got to him and they didn't break his legs because he was dead already. John chapter 19 verse 32 says, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which were crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs." Well, that had been prophesied too. Amen. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Forthwith came out blood and water. He suffered agony, which words can't really describe, I don't think. I don't think we have words that could describe all the agony that he went through, our Savior went through, remembering our Savior today. Verse 34 says, "They pierced his side there." He came into this world for one single mission, and that was to pay a sin debt. And that sin debt was death. He paid that for you and I. He died so you and I wouldn't have to. All these physical bodies go back to the dust of the earth from which they came, unless the Lord raptures us out before. But listen, he gave us eternal life. And one day, we're going to have a brand new body that'll last eternally, just like his. What a Savior. He did all of this for you and I. He conquered the temptation. You know, he faced temptation in this life. He was tempted in all points, the Bible tells us, as we were, yet without sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. We're all tempted. But it's sin when we give in to the temptation. Amen. God never tempts anyone to sin. The devil always tempts to sin. And God will test us sometime, but he never tempts to sin. But he conquered all the temptation, the death, the hell, and the grave. And he's now at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, he came out of that grave after they put him in the grave. They took him down off of that cross, put him in the grave. And he was there 3 days and three nights. And when they went to check on him, there was no one in the grave then. He came forth out of that grave victoriously. Like he said, 3 days, three nights. He's alive. Folks, we serve a risen Savior. He's alive forevermore. Amen. And this same Jesus that went to this cross and suffered, bled, and died, and came out of that grave and was seen by many infallible proofs, and they watched him ascend up into heaven. And the Bible said they asked the two angels, said, "Why stand you here gazing up into heaven?" This same Jesus that you see ascending up into heaven, he's coming back in like manner. He's coming back one of these days. This could be today. We need to be looking for him every day, because he could come at any time. And you know, we have had people down through the years that would predict the time that Jesus is going to come. Listen, the Bible makes it clear, no man knows the day or the hour, but we know that he's coming. And the important thing is that you're ready. Amen. Jesus died to pay your sin debt and to offer you the free gift of eternal life by simply putting your faith and trust in what he did for us. We're not saved by works. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," the Bible tells us in verse 9. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You've got that verse right behind me there on the wall. And Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." In order to get saved, you must come to Jesus. Amen. He's the only one that can save you. But I'm thankful that he's able to save the vilest of sinners. Paul felt like he is the worst sinner that ever lived on this earth. He persecuted Christians, but God saved him and used him tremendously. Wrote 13 and possibly 14 books of the New Testament. And listen, if God can save a man like that, he can save you and I. He saved me, amen, and not a one of us deserved it. If we got what we deserved, we'd die and go to hell. Every one of us would. That's what we deserve. But God loved us and sent his only begotten Son into this world to suffer on Calvary's cross, to pay a debt he didn't owe and a debt we couldn't pay, and to offer us the gift of all gifts, and that's the gift of eternal life. And one day, a new body. You and I that are saved, what we've got to look forward to. You know, when we're in this life, when we're working, we look forward to a time that we can retire, you know, and retire and take it easy. Yeah. Think about that a while. But anyway, that's what we look to. And then you retire, and then by the time you retire, most of the time you don't feel like traveling and doing all that stuff you had in the back of your mind just going to do, you know. You just ain't up to doing that. You might take a trip or two, and then you think, "That's not for me." But I'm glad that there's something better. Boy, God offers us something that we can look forward to. And you talk about something that's a time of rejoicing. Can you just imagine the first time that we see Jesus? We've only seen him by the eye of faith up to this point. But one day, the Bible says we're going to see him as he is. Amen. And we're going to have bodies just like him. Bodies will never wear out. I mean, thank God that we can patch these up for a while. They'll last a while. But you're going to die. And I'm going to die. But I'm glad to know that I'm going to get a brand new body one of these days. And one that'll never wear out. And I'll be able to see Jesus and have a place prepared for me. A mansion. Man, can you imagine that? I'm from a country. There's 11 of us. We lived in a only had two bedroom. Well, every room in the house was a bedroom, really. I mean, we laid down any place there's a spot big enough for you to lay down. But listen, one of these days, we're going to a better place. You know, no matter what we go through down here, the devil tries to get your eyes off of Jesus and what he's done for us and what he's doing for us and what's ahead for us. He tries to get us to discouraged that every time some little something happens, boy, we think, woe is me. Why am I having to go through this? Well, thank God that you don't go through what you that should be going through. Thank God you don't have to suffer like our Savior suffered. Amen. He suffered for us. And that our suffering's just temporary. The devil don't tell you that. But he'll show you all the pleasures of sin. And there is pleasures. The Bible tells us there's pleasures in sin for a season. But it soon comes to an end. And then you have to reap what you sow. You know, everybody talks about sowing their wild oats. Yeah, there's going to crop going to come up too. You can sow those wild oats. But you're going to have a crop of failure there in your life that you're going to have to suffer through. But listen, you don't have to. Jesus made it possible that we could live for him. Didn't mean that we won't have to suffer some things in this life, but it does mean it's only temporary. But those that are not saved, not only did they have to suffer in this life, but the worst suffering is yet to come. They'll have to die and go into that awful place called hell. And listen, there's no return out of hell. There's no such thing as purgatory. That's a man-made doctrine. Listen, it's either heaven or hell. And the decision's made on this side. And you make that decision. Mom and dad can't make that decision for you. Husband or wife can't make the decision for the other. No, it's a personal thing. There comes a point in each of our lives that we have to see ourselves as sinners that we are and be sorry enough for that sin to turn from our sin and by faith turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, invite him into our heart to be our Savior personally. Amen. And if you'll do that, he'll save you. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? You say you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. Listen, I know what Jesus done. He died to pay our sin debt. Amen. And offers you the free gift of salvation if you'll only accept it. Now, he don't force it on you. No, he don't make anyone get saved. It's an invitation. He invites us to come to him. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You talk about a rest, and you get saved. You can pillow your head at night and go to sleep. You don't have to worry about it. I remember before I got saved, I was under a Holy Ghost conviction, and I'd lay down at night, and I was afraid to go to sleep. I knew if I died, I'd go to hell. I knew that. And yet I wanted to get saved, and I didn't want to get saved. You ever been there? But I'm sure glad that one day I accepted that gift, invited Jesus into my heart, and he saved my soul. And listen, I've never been the same. I'm still not all I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. He loves me, and he's with me every day. He's one that the Bible says sticks closer than a brother. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. See, friends will forsake you sometimes. But we've got a friend that's closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there in the good times, and there in the bad times. Sometimes our friends, when things get bad or get tough, hard to find friends during those times sometimes. Aren't you glad our Savior's not that way? He's there. Amen. And that night when no one else can be around, He's there. Jesus is there to help us through and let us know that you're never alone. I'm here. I'm here. I'll help you through this. We'll get through this thing. Boy, I'm glad that I know Him this morning. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved? Do you know this one that went through all of this suffering? And I know this morning I didn't paint a picture near like all the suffering, what it was really like. I don't think we even have words to explain the suffering and agony that He went through. And you need to bring it down personal. He did that for you. He did. He did that for me. He did it for everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you done that? Has there been a time in your life that you saw yourself as you really was and invited Him into your heart? If you have, thank God for that. Serve Him now. We're saved to serve. Not saved to sit, but saved to serve. He's got a job for us to do. So just get busy. Don't try to be somebody else. Be what God wants you to be. Pray and get in the Word of God and seek God's will for your life. And then do it. Be faithful in doing what God would have you to do. There's nothing that's not important to God. Everything that we do, it's important to Him. It doesn't matter what we're doing. If we're doing it for the Lord and doing what He would have us to do, it's important. And we all work together as a church. The Bible compares it with a body. We need all the parts. Amen. To work together to get the body to function right. That's the same way with the church. We need the church working together that the body can function right. The church can. But as we get saved, we need to serve Him. And by the way, you'll want to serve Him too. The devil will tell you, I know what he told me before I was saved. You don't want to get saved. You can't do anything after you get saved. I mean, you can't have fun. I've enjoyed my life more since I've been saved than I ever thought about before I was saved. Amen. God blesses every day. And it's something you enjoy doing. And you've got His Word to feed on every day, as is brought out this morning. And you need to do that so we can grow and be what He'd have us to be. And just remember, thank God for the men and women that's died for our freedom. And no, I'm not taking away from that. I thank God for that every day and for those that's fighting for us now. But don't forget the one that died for our salvation. Amen. And redeemed us. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen. The Bible tells us. Amen. That's the freedom that this world don't know anything about. You see, he blesses us there. He gives us a peace that passeth all understanding. The world don't understand how we can have peace in the midst of storms. Well, they don't know our Savior, do they? Amen. Amen. Today, if you're not saved, today would be a good day to get saved. Amen. Invite Him into your heart to be your Savior. I want to ask the pianist to come, if he will, for a few minutes here play something. I don't know if you want to have a song, but play something. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. We're going to have a word of prayer. Then if God's speaking your heart, if you're not saved, I encourage you to come and invite Him in your heart. If you need someone to pray with you, let us know. Or if you just need to come and pray about something, just mind the Lord. Bow with me, if you will. Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for loving us. Lord, You loved us more than anyone's ever loved us. We could never repay what You've done for us already. And God, I pray that we'll never forget what a tremendous price You paid for our salvation. And Lord, I do pray for the families that's lost their loved ones, that's fought for our freedom in this country. God, I pray for the families and those that have people that are fighting today. Lord, I ask for your protection, and Lord, I pray for those families. I know it's hard on them also. But God, you gave the ultimate sacrifice for our salvation. And Lord, help us to never forget that. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's never invited you into their heart to be their personal Savior, never received that gift that you offer, God, help them to do that today. Have your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. If you need to come for any reason, just mind the Lord as he plays a few minutes here. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Amen. Well, I appreciate your attention. And if God's speaking to your heart about something, I pray before this day is over, you'll mind the Lord. Thanks for having me back. And always a blessing to be with you folks. And do pray for your pastor that God will give him a refreshing time away and a safe journey back. And I am taking the Fritos. You thought I'd forgot them, didn't you? It's good to be with you. I trust you have a good day. And no services tonight, so be with your family. It's a good time to be able to witness the family sometime you get together like this. So we need to use those opportunities. Amen. Lord bless you. Anything before we're dismissed here that needs to be? Okay. Lord, we thank you again for your many blessings. Thank you for a beautiful day. Lord, we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.